welcome everybody to church this morning. And I'm going to start off with, I do the Jesus calling every day, and well, I try to do it every day, but when I can remember to read it, I will. But the verse on here that I'm going to share today is a verse about worship. So it's Psalms 95, 1 and 2. It says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song." And I just love this verse because, well, I love all the worship verses, but this one that, you know, spoke to my heart today, I want to just kind of have an encouragement or, you know, have a challenge for you guys before we start our service. All of you guys know what this is. It's a phone. It's called a smartphone. But it is also a distraction phone, and it distracts a lot of us, you know, here at church when we come. A lot of us are on our phones, we're Facebooking, we're Instagramming, we're, you know, we're doing all that stuff. And this challenge is also for me, but I want to challenge you guys to, before church starts, to just, you know, turn off your phone and just focus on what God has for us today. A lot of times, you know, we think it's more important for us to, you know, see what Susie had for dinner last night. You know, we want to see it, and we want to see what's going on in people's, you know, people's lives all the time. And I just want to encourage you guys to, this is an encouragement for me and a challenge for me to turn off my phone when I come to church and to just give God all the honor and praise because he's worthy of it. And, you know, just because we come to church here, it doesn't mean that we're a Christian. You know, it means we come to church. It's what we have on the inside. It's what we do, on the outside when we leave this place. You know, God is here, but he's also with us when we leave. And we have the power, and we have the just the power that just like Jesus gave us the power to also have him with us when we're not in these, you know, in these stores. I had a really bad day yesterday, really bad night, and you know, it's just the enemy just comes and he just tries to destroy everything good that we have in our lives. He tries to just, you know, attack us. But and this morning I had told Moses, "I don't want to open up the service. Can you open it?" He's like, "No, they asked you to do it." And you know, I kind of didn't want to do it, but I'm glad that I'm here and I'm taking a stand for my family. I'm taking a stand for God because I know that he is the one that is worthy. And so we're just going to pray before church starts and just open up the service. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as we come to worship you today, Lord, I pray that you just open up our eyes and our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, anything that is distracting us, Lord, right now, I just pray, Lord, that you just let it go right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our hearts be open to you, Lord, and I pray that we just worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And Lord, I pray that any distraction that comes, Lord, that we just let it fall off, Lord. And before this church starts, Lord, I pray, Lord, that our worship be honorable to you, Lord, and that we know and that we hear what you want us to hear, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that your will be done, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit be here, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, in your name, amen.
Stand up this morning.
changes. The darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you.
We love.
We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love. There is resurrection life in all you do. We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus.
Yours, we want you. It's in you. Before I even met this guy up here on the stage and married him and we became pastors, I was a single mom of two small children, and I normally was a really deep sleeper, but this one night I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God woke me up. And I got up and kind of was walking through my house, and it wasn't any kind of noise, it was very peaceful, and I'm just kind of walking through my house, and I went into my living room, which was kind of a step-down living room, and went to the front window, and it had a privacy blind on it where you could see out, but people couldn't see in. And I noticed how foggy it was outside, and I'm like, wow, it's so foggy. And all of a sudden, I saw headlights, and I lived on a kind of a U-shaped road where it was my road and then another small road that connected and then this other road that went out, and I saw lights coming up the side because I lived on the inside corner up the side and turned the corner, and I'm like, wow, you know, it's 2:30 in the morning, and I'm like, what's that? And this car stopped right in front of my house, and I'm like, you know, here I am alone in a house with two little kids, and the car's parked like right at the front but in the middle of the road, and I'm thinking, what are they doing, you know? And all of a sudden the car kind of pulls over and parks in front of my house. I'm like, panicky, you know, start my heart's beating really fast. And I noticed in the fog in the house that was right on the corner, inside corner, this figure come walking out with a box in his arms and comes around and gets up on my lawn and steps across and goes to the car and gets in the back seat and puts the box in beside him in the back seat. I'm like, that's not right. And then I'm thinking, oh no. So I ran and got my cordless phone and I went back. They didn't make cell phones back then. Went and got my cordless phone and went back to the front, and all of a sudden the back door opened and this person gets out and gets up on my grass again. I'm like, okay, they're up to no good. So I dialed 911. And I'm telling them what I saw, and all of a sudden he begins to walk across my yard toward my house. And I'm like, okay, you need to get here right now. He's coming toward my house. And she says, calm down. The police are en route. You just need to stay calm. And so we go through this whole spiel, and he's walked across toward my daughter's bedroom window, and I can't see where he went. So I'm running back and forth trying to find this person, and there's no windows on the north side of my house. It's all just plain wood. So we're going through all of this, and then they had me go back to the front window, and the car has disappeared by this time. And they said, go back, you know, and look through the window in the back and see if you see anything. Well, all of a sudden the car comes back up, and this person has gone to a house on the side road there and then came out, and they said, you know, go to the front door. The police are there. So I did, and I said, I don't want them to know that who it was, so you can't walk across my grass. They'll know it was the corner house. I don't want that. And so he said, no, we'll take care of you. So anyway, make a long story short, this was a ring of thefts that had been going on for months. And all of a sudden, six cop cars, whoom, and they got these people, and it was a woman and a man. She was the driver, and he was the one that was breaking into all of this. And they had broken in the house across the street, the house kitty corner from me, and the house back here. They broke into vehicles and RVs and stuff and stolen things out. So by law, what the police have to do is wake up each occupant of the home and say, do you know this person? And if they don't know this person, ask them, do they have permission to have the property that they have of yours in their possession? Well, these two homes here were older people. You didn't see too much interaction between. It's just like, no, no. But this lady back here, let me tell you, they broke into her vehicle, stole out her brand new stereo that she had just purchased that was on. She was making payments, and they broke into her vehicle, ripped this stereo out of her car. And she's standing in the middle of the road. And they said, do you know this person? And she's really loud. 2:30 in the morning, you can hear her all over the neighborhood. No, I don't know this person. Do they have permission to have your property? And she's this little tiny thing, and he's this big tall man. And she's got her finger up in his face, and she's yelling at him, you do not have my permission to have my property. She was nothing but flat out telling him and every neighbor that would listen that he had no right. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to make this spiritual here. What rights have we given over to the enemy in our lives to have permission of our calling, of our peace, our freedom? What permission has he taken on his own? He wasn't given permission to be able to do it, but he's come into you, to your life, and he has robbed you. How adamant are you going to be against him saying, you do not have permission to take my calling or to take my freedom or to take my good thoughts or to take anything that the Lord has given you? Peace, joy, freedom in the Holy Spirit. Amen? That is yours. That is your rights in God. How adamant are you going to be with the enemy this morning to take back what he's taken from you? To declare with your finger up his nose, shaking it, saying, you do not have a right. You have to flee in the name of Jesus, because this is all given in his name. Glenn said about it being stolen, and God reminded me of that story, because somebody here needs to remind the enemy with a very loud, adamant voice, you do not have a right. Amen. So let's sing this again, Glenn, and let's declare it, people. Declare it. Amen.
even in the valley, you are faithful. Even in the valley, you are faithful.
When you're in the valley and you look to the left and to the right, you can't see what lies ahead. When you look to the left and to the right, you can't see what lies ahead. And sometimes in life we're in valleys and we just say, oh, I'm in the valley season. And we just accept that. But God's saying, you're in a valley so that you can learn how to trust me. Because if you could see what I have for you, you would have no doubt. You would have no fear. You would have no guilt. You would have no shame. He's saying, when you're in the valley, he's saying, trust me. Trust me. My promises are true. My promises are true, and they're for you. Even in the valley, you are faithful. 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 I trust you. Even in the valley, you are faithful. 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 I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Even in the valley, you are faithful.
Cause even in the valley you were faithful. Cause even in the valley you were faithful. Cause even in the valley you were faithful. I trust you. I trust you.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
I am, you're a good
can sing this song today with such a grateful heart. And Gina, thank you for your opening, because this is talking about praise and worship. Even when you think there's nothing to praise and worship for, or it's too dark to do so. My granddaughter went home on Friday.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. She blew away every single milestone they gave her. They said, she has to do this. She did it. And God used this tiny little baby to show a nation of doctors, a nation of saints, and nations, all people all over this country that know Reggie and know Valerie from different things, praying for this baby. He brought them together. But there's something else he did. There's a family there in that unit right now. Young 20-year-olds, just had twins, born at 22 weeks. One of them passed away. Valerie didn't know all this, but she's effervescent, and she will smile at people, and she will wave, even when she's going through this. Well, she was doing this for this family. She would just say hi. They didn't speak much English, but she would say hi and go on. Well, one day, the grandmother had this foil package and was handing it to my daughter, and she didn't understand. So the father of the twins came over to her and said, she wants to thank you, and she has made you a meal. She didn't go buy her a meal. She went home and made her a full-fledged little Mexican meal to bring to her in foil to feed my daughter. And then the gentleman told my daughter and her husband, he said to them, we've lost one, but I will still praise God because we still have one. My baby has gone home for whatever reason God has him, but he's given us Esau. We get to keep him so far. And even if I lose him, I will still praise my God, no matter what. So when my daughter's encouragement was low, and she needed to be encouraged, God took another family in so much pain and used them to encourage her. How great is our God?
Amen.
How great is he? Another miracle is that there's an enemy in this situation, and it's not just the illness. But somebody went after my daughter and said some things to her. But she still stood and let God have the victory in this. And she's still strengthened by what God has done for her. Now, Rami is on no medications. She is completely healed. The ECMO doctors all over Texas and in units everywhere are like shocked. They don't believe it. And they keep saying, prove it. So she keeps giving them milestones, and she's a normal little girl today. And I want to say thank you for all your prayers and your faith. But God has shown that he is provider, he is comforter, he is healer, he is miraculous, miracle worker.
Amen.
And that no matter the darkness that we have to go through, he is standing there. In that valley, he is standing there, because he's still the same God on the mountain, and he's still the same God in the valley, and he's not going to change that. It's our eyes that need to be open, and God has used my daughter's family and her child to do so. So when you want to praise and you want to think about something that needs praise, think about how God will provide no matter what. No matter what, no matter where we are, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, he is always going to be there for us.
Thank you.
Melissa, can you put the I am loved by you, it's who I am? As we were singing this, this just triggered something so joyous in my heart. As we were standing there in worship, God just spoke over me, like, this is an identity statement. It's who we are. We are loved by him. There are times that we can think, I did something wrong. God can't love me now. But God, the verse right before the song, the page right before this is, God is a good, good father. He is. It is who he is. And we are loved by him. It's not what we do of why we're loved by him. It's just that we are who we are. He has given his son. He has given everything for us. then why would he hold anything back, especially his love? If he loved us so much to give his perfect son, Jesus Christ, for us, why would he not continue to love us no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter what struggle we're in, no matter what failure we've gone through? God continues to love us because it's who we are. Yeah. And God says that to each and every one of us. And guys, that can be a word that you can speak over yourselves, because there is power in our tongues. Yeah. And we can say we are loved by him, not for what we do, not because who we think we are, not because we think we did something good for somebody, but it's just because it's who we are. It's before everything and anything. God loves us unconditionally. He gave his son, and his blood still cries mercy for us. It's still alive, and it's still powerful. It's still at work in each and every one of us. So if there are some of us that think that, how can God love me right now? I just messed up bad. I've had a lifetime of whatever. That doesn't matter. God still loves you. God still loves us. And it's because of, it's who we are. He made us, and he just loves us. So just know that anybody that may be feeling anything or any separation from God's love, it's who we are. It's not what we do. And that's an identity. That's our identity, is we are loved before we do anything. So I just wanted to share that. God just had my heart pounding over in my chest over there for a while to share this with you guys. And he loves you. He loves you unconditionally no matter what you're going through. And just know that. No matter how it feels, unconditionally loved before we do anything. Jesus Christ proves that, hanging on the cross for each and every one of us.
Good morning, blessed and highly favored children of the living God. So, just a real quick summary. When I was about 15 years old, I got into a skateboarding accident, and I blew my knee out completely. I had to have reconstructive surgery on my knee. Well, I've been away from the church for about a month and a half now. I had to go serve some old jail time that just needed to get out of the way. Anyway, fleshly stuff, neither here nor there. God is a living God. He's an amazing God. He's a healing God. He's a God that wants to give us the desires of our hearts, but he also requires obedience. And when we are obedient unto him, there's nothing that he can't do. There's no mountain in our lives that he can't move. Today, through finally realizing what the word obedience really means in my life, my knee is completely healed. I've been a construction worker the majority of my life, and I've been debating on, God, do you want me to do something else? But I'm a carpenter, just like his son was, and it's what I love to do. It's what I desire to do. But there was times when I couldn't do this anymore. You know, I could only be like this. But now I can get on my knees and I can serve my God now.
Amen.
I can serve my God with these hands, with these abilities that he's given me today. And my knee is completely healed, completely restored. Thank Jesus. Thank Jesus.
Amen.
Anything that you ask of, anything in your heart that you ask of, but it's obedience. Obedience is the road that gets us there. Love you guys.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. You are great. who you are, who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Goodness goes beyond our understanding. But to our understanding, we realize you're good. And Father, I pray today that those who have been weighted down and heavy and burdened and feeling like they're at the end of their rope, you just flood their heart with your goodness. Flood their heart with your love. As with Sharon, Lord, we are loved. What an identity. Loved. Loved. We receive that today, Lord. We receive your love. We receive your unconditional love for us. So many times we put conditions on your love to us. But Lord, we put that aside right now. We receive your unconditional love. How we are right now in this condition, you love us. And we're so thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Jesus, for being the reason that the Father can embrace us with his whole being once again. And we can embrace him back. That we can have intimacy, oneness with you. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, God. We worship you, Lord. You're so good. So good. Just join me for a moment. Just say how good God is. You say it loud or you say it quietly. You're good, God. You're a good Father. You're a good Savior. You're so good, Holy Spirit. You're so good, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Worship you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated if you can. Right? That was awesome worship. And I'm trying to learn a new way to worship and still play at the same time. I'm starting to get it. I just have to let my... Maybe that's what I needed to do to worship in spirit and in truth, is to get rid of the mouth. And it seems to be working. But did Lotta leave? There was one point when Lotta was just... receiving God's goodness and just like becoming overwhelmed, and it just started flooding me, and I said, oh, I can't do this because I'm about ready to go over. We're in trouble. I could have just let the pads play though, so that would have been fine. Well, would the children please come up? Oh yes, well, I think Belle has that announced. Are you going to be next? You want to go ahead and just announce that right now? I was gonna, probably before the kids go down.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if you guys know, or some of you guys may not have heard, but we're raising money for children who have been saved from human trafficking. And so we are going to be selling pre-selling tickets to baskets. There's going to be three baskets, a men's basket, a woman's basket, and a child basket. So please stop by. Just as we have experienced God's love, let's give that love to somebody else. And God has called us to love one another. So give out of your heart, and God will also give back to you. So I just want to encourage you guys to stop by today, pre-sales today, and then selling next week, and the following Sunday we'll sell and also draw for the winners. So.
Praise the Lord. Did you want to announce this, or do you? So I just want to remind all the women that April 17th and 18th in Battleground, Washington, will be the Northwest Grace International Women's Conference. And if you're not signed up and you would like to sign up, we're going to pass this around. Oh, no, we're not going to see. We're going to see you. Okay. Just see Pastor Gay. And one more thing. I'll get this started. Hang on, kids. You get to hear all the announcements. Next Saturday at 9:30 a.m., we have a church work day. Hey! The three people that are going to attend are excited. So why don't you sign up, bro? That'd be... He works anyway, so... So yeah, so just pass that around. If you can make it, just even for an hour or so, that'd be great. But if you can give us the full morning, that'd be fantastic. It's nice to have a clean place, isn't it? For those of you who have dirty rooms, I know you don't relate, but you know sometimes it's nice to have a clean place. When I was a kid, my room was like trashed. It was so trashed I couldn't find anything. Do you guys ever lose stuff? Because it's like, where is it? And it's underneath the things that have been sitting there for 4 weeks. There it is. Okay, you guys ready to go down and have an awesome time? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kids. Lord, and I pray today that they'd receive your word that you have for them. Lord, that their hearts would be open. They'd be ready to receive, Lord, and they would grow in the knowledge of you, God, and become all that you have called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's all the announcements, isn't it? Well, we are blessed with our resident Pastor Dan's going to share today. So come on up, brother. You like the wireless, right?
We're on? There we are. So how are you guys? You guys excited? Okay, let's all stand up a second. This is not going to work. So now you're excited. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I cannot find my other Bible that I usually preach from, and so I have an older Bible, and so I'm not real familiar with all of the wherewithals, but we'll be okay, right? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I pray that it will be life-giving, that, Lord, it will be something that we can use and apply to our lives. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you're as your word says, your grace is sufficient. I pray, God, your grace upon every hearer and every heart in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm just going to share what I guess I've been experiencing and going through. And one of those things is God in control. How many has ever been in control of your life? I think we've talked about this before, and for me, control is not a good thing, because I want to control the outcome of everything I do, everything that is going on in my life, and I find that when I'm in control, I'm actually out of control. It doesn't work for me, and so I am learning to surrender to the Lord. So I guess this is just going to be like my own journey of what's been going on in my life. And Paul is, as you know, a guy that was Saul of Tarsus and got saved on the road to Damascus and got gloriously saved, and the Lord took him 3 years on the backside of the desert and actually taught him what he was going to learn. And he got revelations, he got understanding of the Word, he got all the things that go with the Holy Spirit teaching. And so I want to start in verse 1. And it says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Then he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows." Verse 4 says, "How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is, it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above that which, or above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." Verse 9 says, "And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I am strong." And that's what I am learning, that God's grace is sufficient. And it has taken a long time to learn that God's grace is sufficient. And as Paul was writing, there are some times that we get to a point where we don't think God's grace is sufficient at all. We think God has abandoned us, or God has left us, or God has done all these terrible things to us. There are things that God allows in our life so that we can become completely and totally reliant upon Him. That we can truly know that God's grace is sufficient. And unless you experience the tragedies, or unless you experience the trials in your life, you begin truly to rely upon yourself, and you think, "I am strong, I can do this, I can go through this." But there's a scripture in Romans 8:28 that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purposes. And it doesn't say that God causes some things, but it says that God causes all things to work together for the good. You know, and I'm finding that in my own life, that all the things that I've gone through, all the things that I'm going through, all the things that I will go through, that God is using all of those things to create something amazing in my life, something amazing out of my life. And we see the backside. I heard someone, in fact, it was the other night, that, you know, if we could see what God is doing from this side of heaven, we are looking up and we're trying to figure out what God is doing in our life. We're trying to figure out how God is shaping all these things, how God can be doing some amazing things in our lives when all these things seem to be falling apart in our lives. And we see this one thread that is being woven, but we can only see it from this side. We can only see what God is doing from this side. And from this side, it doesn't look like it makes any sense at all. It doesn't seem like God is even in control of anything. But when we get to heaven, when we get to the other side, and we can see what God has really been up to, we can actually now say God's grace is sufficient for my life. God's grace is enough for me. Even at times when it doesn't seem like it's enough, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is always abounding toward me. It says, in all things, God is working all things together for my good. And if we stop and think about just what that says alone, that God is working all things, no matter what it is. Let me ask myself a question, then ask you this question. Is God in control of our lives? We say he's in control, right? I mean, as long as we can have a little bit of control, we know God is in control. When things are going good and things are going amazingly well in our lives, we thank God for that, and we think, it's okay. But what happens when it seems like our life is out of control? The Bible says that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, and he began to ask God three different times, God, take this away. God, take this out of my life. How many's ever prayed that? God, just remove this, and it's going to be okay. God, if you'll just take this out of my life, I'm going to be just fine. And God says, no, I'm not going to take that out of your lives. I'm not going to remove that thorn that you so willingly want me to take out, because God knows what he's doing. I like that song that Glenn led. He's a good, good father. Because God sometimes doesn't appear to be that good. Sometimes God seems like he's mean, he's upset, he's all these things in my life. But God is a good father, and he's working all things out. He's doing some amazing things in our lives, and we can't see it yet. But if we just let him have control, if we just surrender to him, and I think that's the whole point of my life anyway, is just finding out how to surrender the controls, I guess, of my life back over to God. Because when I'm in control, I mess up. When I'm in control, I think I know exactly what I'm doing, exactly where I'm going. And God says, that's not the way I'm going. That's not the way I'm taking you. That's not what I'm doing in your life. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul begins to relax control to God, and he said, rather than I'm going to boast in my infirmities, I'm going to rejoice in all the things that I'm going through. There's a scripture that says that we are to give thanks to God in all things in Christ Jesus, for this is God's will for my life. How many can give God thanks when things are going well? How many give thanks when things are going well? Honestly, you remember to thank God for things that are going well. How many can give God thanks when things are not going so well in your life? That's a tough one. I mean, it is tough for me to give God thanks when things are going not so well, or when I think it should be going a different way. But the Bible says that if I rejoice in my infirmities, listen to what it says here in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress. Listen, this is what he says. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I mean, that's sick, right? I mean, who takes pleasure in their infirmities? I mean, who actually gets up in the morning and says, yes, I'm sick. Thank you, Jesus, right? Lord, thank you that I'm just vomiting today. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost, right? It does mean pleasure. Therefore, I take pleasure. Why is he taking pleasure? Because God has reassured him that his grace is enough for him. His grace is enough. His unmerited favor in my life is enough. Do you know why God gave him those infirmities? We just read about it. I mean, he had all these revelations. He had been caught up into the third heaven. He was given all this teaching and all this knowledge. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And when things are going good in our lives and things are going well in our lives, I mean, I've ran into people. I started losing people as far as to death when I was 6 years old. And it seems like that's kind of been the pattern of my life. About every so many years, I lose somebody really, really close to me. I've ran into people in their 60s who have never, never lost a person to death in their life. And I think, wow, that is amazing. That is God's grace in their life. But if I compare my life to their life, I would think, oh, my God, what is going on in my life? I mean, why am I suffering all these deaths and all these things in my life? God has prepared me for what I'm doing today. God has allowed these things in my life so that I am more able to deal with people on a daily basis and show them the love of Christ and show them what God is doing, and it's going to be okay. God's grace is sufficient for my life. No matter what I go through, God's grace is always going to be enough. And so God said, Paul, you've gotten all these amazing insights. You've gotten all these amazing revelations. And I would say that Paul was also a human being, and we can kind of get boastful. Anybody ever got boastful before? One person. Okay, amen. Wow, thank you. No one else has ever gotten boastful in your life. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Mm. Yeah. But we do, don't we? Do we not brag sometimes about what's going on in our lives? How God has blessed us and God has provided for us and God has given us all these amazing things. And then something happens in our lives and it's not so amazing from our standpoint. It's not as good as when I got that raise. It's not as good as when my daughter got healed. It's not as good as fill in the blank. And it doesn't seem like God is really now listening to me, but God is still listening to me. God is still weaving that pattern. He's still making that tapestry of my life, and he's saying, my grace is sufficient. My unmerited favor is sufficient. And I love Paul's response when he finally had prayed 3 times, and God finally said, Paul, I'm not going to answer that prayer. Nowhere in Scripture do you find Paul again praying about God taking that away from his life. You don't see that. So rather he says, then rather I'm going to take pleasure because I know God is up to something in my life. I know God is doing something amazing in my life through these tragedies, through these things that are going on in my life. Listen to what it says in the verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my needs, in my persecutions, in my distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's almost like an oxymoron, right? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. But when I'm strong in me, I'm weak in him. When I'm totally reliant upon what I can do, then I am unreliant on what he can do. You cannot cannot have it both ways. He cannot be in control and me in control. He cannot be driving my life and me driving my life. And so he allows tragedies to come into my life. He allows tragedies to come into your life, not because he's a bad God, but because he's a good God. Not because he's not interested in my life, but because he is interested in my life. So when God is up to something, sometimes it doesn't make any sense, and God is still in control. At the end of the day, at the end of my life, God is still in control of what is going on in my life. He has not left. He is not forsaken. He's not done anything except love on me. How many are parents here today? How many are going to be parents someday? How many want to give your child everything they ever want? Everything they ask for, you just hand it out to them. I want $50. You're used to giving $50, right? No, you don't do that, right? I want, instead of pancake for breakfast, I would rather have chocolate chip ice cream. But because we're good dads and good moms, we're just going to hand that to them. No, we're not. We're going to say, that is not good for you. I'm going to make sure you have this in your life. And just because from their vantage point, it doesn't make any sense, you're the parent. You're the one that can see the outcome of their day. If they get chocolate ice cream, they're either going to be wound up, or, you know, by the end of the day or by the end of their lifetime, their teeth have all fallen out and, you know, they're asking you why you gave them ice cream for breakfast. Right? I never got ice cream for breakfast. It was always oatmeal or something hot. And weekends were a treat because I got to eat Captain Crunch cereal, because I wasn't going to go to school. I was all those things. But I had to rely upon my parents, that they knew what was best for my life. And the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and God causes all things to work out. But don't misinterpret that scripture. God causes all things to work together for my good. That doesn't mean that everything I want to have happen in my life that I think should happen is what God's going to do in my life. It doesn't work that way. When I pray, as Paul prayed, God, take this out of my life. I don't want this in my life. It is something that I don't understand why you're doing this in my life. And when God says my grace is sufficient, he means exactly that. My grace is sufficient for you. And that should be enough, right? That should be enough when God says it's okay, it's going to be okay. My grace, my unmerited favor. I'd rather have God on my worst day than not have God on my best day. Because my worst day is my best day with him. My best day is my worst day without him. Is that right? Because I can't control the outcome of my life. Only he can control the outcome. I can have choices. I make choices all the time. We all make choices, right? But one of the choices we have to make is that God is sufficient, and I'm going to surrender control of my life to him. That is a choice that we consciously have to make almost on a daily basis. God, I'm surrendering control to you. Does that mean we have no decisions to make during that day? Absolutely not. But it means that whatever decision I make, I've prayed about it. I've asked God to take care of it. I've asked God to lead me. I've asked God to guide me. I think our men's group on Wednesday, we talked about that. And we talked about, you know, do we just allow things to happen in our lives? Or do we have a part that we have to play too? I think we all have a part to play in the plan of God. I believe that we all have a part that we have to give control to God, but we also have to make decisions. If God has asked us to do something, we've prayed about something, and we've asked God to do it a certain way, and he's chosen by his infinite mercy and wisdom not to do it the way we think he should do it. We have to rely upon his grace. We have to rely upon what he can do and what he is doing in our lives. Amen? Because if we don't do that, then is God really in control of our lives? I heard someone say recently that my allegiance is to Christ. My allegiance is to him and him alone. And whatever he asks of me and whatever he asks me to go through, I have to be okay with that. My flesh might not be okay with that, but my spirit rejoices. That's why Paul said, I take pleasure then. He didn't say, I take pleasure until after God has said to him, my grace is sufficient. Because nobody wants to take pleasure in infirmities. Nobody wants to take pleasure in persecution. Nobody wants to take pleasure in being thrown in prison and shipwrecked and beaten and all the things that Paul went through. But once God said, my grace is sufficient, it was okay. And I can say this today, God's grace for whatever you're going through, whatever you're going to go through, and whatever you've been through, His grace is sufficient. His grace will always be sufficient for your life. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter if you lost someone close to you. It doesn't matter if it seems like God isn't answering the prayer the way you want God to answer the prayer. God is not obligated to answer the prayer the way you want Him to answer it. God says, if you pray, I will answer your prayer. But it's going to be the way God sees fit for you. Because God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's up to. I have no clue what God is up to sometimes. Sometimes I wonder if God is really even aware of where I'm at. But He always makes me to know that He knows exactly where I'm at. He knows exactly what I'm going through. And He knows exactly what I have need of. I am a child. Right? Who was it that said that? You said we're blessed children of God or highly favored children of God or something like that. But we're children. And it's amazing what Jesus does. I think I'm just rambling today. I don't know why. But remember the story when Jesus blesses the children? And Jesus is, you know, talking, and lest you become as one of these little children, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You have all these religious people. You have all the disciples that are hanging out with Jesus. I mean, He's the cool thing of the day. He's the thing that's happening of the day. And anybody that's, you know, anybody is around Jesus. But you can be around Jesus and not know Jesus, right? He's not asking you to be an adult. He's asking you to be a child. Not child in childishness, but in childlike faith, right? A childlike heart, thank you. And so the parents, I don't know about you, but if Jesus is in the house, I want my children to get to know Jesus. I'm going to bring them to Jesus. And if Jesus were here, I'd want Him to lay hands on my child, right? I'd want Him to bless them. And Jesus is a big deal back then. He's just really doing his thing, and the blind are seeing, and the dead are being raised to life, the leper's being cleansed, and the woman with the issue of blood after 12 years has stood up straight and she's clean, and everybody's excited, and all these children are coming around Him, and they just want to be around Jesus, right? And His disciples, His entourage, are kind of backing the children off and saying, no, Jesus doesn't have time for you. And what does Jesus do? He says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Let them come. And He takes and He sets one of the children in the midst of them on His lap. And He says, unless you become like this child, you can't even get into the kingdom. And what does that mean? Paul says, Lord, take this away 3 times. And he says, my grace is sufficient. Okay, Dad. Okay, Father. It's okay then. If my dad says it's okay, if my mom says it's okay, it's going to be okay. Right? Why? Because I trust them. If I know that my parents are in control, I can go to bed at night and I can sleep. I loved it when I was a child because I knew I didn't have a water bill to think about. I didn't have a mortgage payment to think about. All I knew is I had lights because I flipped on a light. All I knew is I could use the restroom and it flushed okay. I just figured that's how things worked. Because I'm a child, right? That's what children do. And then you get to grow up. And then you realize that Wells Fargo wants their payment on the 1st. And after the 17th, you get a late fee. And if you don't pay it for 3 or 4 months, it goes into foreclosure. Because we're adults. But my father doesn't have a mortgage payment. Doesn't have a water bill. Doesn't have to pay a power bill. Because he owns it all. Right? And when my father says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is perfected in weakness," then I'm going to rejoice because it's going to be okay. So Paul says, "I'm going to take pleasure then because my dad said it's going to be okay. My dad said his grace is sufficient for me. My dad said, don't worry about it." I love what Jesus said. How many of us can add 1 year or 1 moment to our life by worrying? How many worry ever? 3 people worry. Wow, praise God. Man, you guys are amazing. I just want to know how that works. If you're a worrier, you will worry if you have nothing to worry about. That's just how it works, right? But if your Father in heaven says, "My grace is going to be okay, everything's going to work out," how many of us can actually say it's going to be okay? Because sometimes we don't think it's going to be okay. Because we don't think our dad really knows what he's doing. Can we be honest sometimes? We don't think God knows what he's doing. That's me. And we fight. How many's ever gotten angry at God? 6 people. Amen. Seriously, no. If you've gotten angry at God, please stand up. And I'm being very serious. You've gotten angry at God. Frustrated is good. Have you ever gotten angry or frustrated at your own natural parents? Right? Maybe just one time. Praise God. There's some honesty in the house today. What I've found is that it's okay to be angry and it's okay to be frustrated, but at the end of the day to realize that God's grace is sufficient. And that he's working everything out for my good. Even if I don't understand what he's doing, you can sit down now. Even if I don't realize and understand what he is doing, but I know I'm being perfected. In my weakness, I'm becoming stronger. In my infirmities, I'm becoming stronger. In my tragedies, I'm becoming stronger. God is shaping my life, your life. Not with things that go well and right, but things that go wrong and we think are not right. Because it's in those times that we run to God and we fall upon our face before God and say, "God, you need to do something." And you may pray it 3 times, 5 times, 1,000 times. But if you will listen, I believe God will say, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for your life. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God's going to do good things." Amen? All right, let's all stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that you are teaching me that your grace is sufficient. And because your grace is sufficient, God, that I can now take pleasure in all the things that I go through, all the things I will ever go through. I can truly take pleasure because your grace is sufficient. Is Glenn still here? Is he gone? Can you play that song, "He's a Good, Good Father"? And I'm just going to give a real simple altar call. And that is, if you feel like you need to be reassured of God's grace being sufficient in your life, you can either at your chair kneel or you can come up front. But I want to sing that song, You're a Good, Good Father. And let's truly believe that God is a good, good Father. Amen? And I'm not going to lead the song, so. Amen, yes. He's a good, good Father, that's why.
In the stories of what they think you're like, but I heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Need you know that God is a good, good Father. Just find a place and let's just talk to the Lord a little bit today.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
who I am.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
I think that needs to be a song we hold in our heart. Sing it as we're going to bed at night. Sing it as we're waking up. And just remind ourselves that no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what situations we're facing, you may not be facing those right now. They may start tomorrow. That He's a good Father and that He loves you. And that is bottom line. He loved us so much that He gave His only Son. He gave Him freely. He didn't hold Him back. And Jesus gave Himself to that process fully. We're coming to the time that we're to remember that work on the cross. The demonstration of God's love. The demonstration of the Father's gift to mankind. And remember that it's because He loved us. He didn't do it just to prove how great He was. He did it because He loved us. So as you go today, just keep that in your heart. He's a good Father. He's a good Dad. And He loves you so much. Praise the Lord. Don't forget the raffle in the back. Josh is back there and the ladies. So God bless you. You have a wonderful day. Great week.